House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is Tuesday, May 16th, 2017. First item on the agenda is Senate Bill 117A, Senator Riley.
Thank you, Chair Barker.
Old habits.
Thank you, Chair Barker. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 117A places certain additional prohibitions and requirements on towers. There are no amendments, and there is a minimal fiscal and a minimal revenue impact.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Chuck Riley, Senate District 15, Hillsborough, Cornelius, Forest Grove, North Plains, and a lot of farms in the middle. this bill comes to you today because of some issues. We worked on this issue back in 2007 with Senator Gordley and made some good progress, but it has not done everything that we need to have done. So this bill is an update to that. Let me give you a couple of stories to tell you why we need to do this. An apartment building where a husband and wife lived and was part of their rental agreement, they had their assigned parking space. The husband went to work and his wife, who was due, had to go to the hospital. Her mother came to pick her up, parked in their parking space, their assigned parking space, went in to get her daughter ready to go to the hospital, get her clothes packed, and et cetera. Came out and the car was gone. This is not acceptable. We need to make sure that these kinds of things don't happen. When cars are stolen from the parking places where they're assigned parking space. And this bill will help to deal with that. Again, we've been working on this for a long time, and I hope that we'll be able to make it a little better this time.
Okay. Okay. Any questions for Senator? Thank you.
It's too easy.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
I call Cheryl Heimstra.
Good afternoon, Chair Barker, members of the committee. My name is Cheryl Heimstra. I'm the Deputy Legislative Director at the Oregon Department of Justice. Just a brief history for you on the Senate side. There were three different bills on towing, 117, 133, and 488. You'll hear 488, I hope, in a few minutes. 133 was our bill, the Attorney General's bill, and we were able to loop in the kind of technical fixes we had from 133 into 117 in front of you today. And maybe technical fixes, maybe a little bit of a light term for that. I would call them stipulated fixes. We sat down with the towers, maybe even last fall already on this bill. We had taken a look at our consumer complaint hotline, and towing is an issue that comes up quite frequently. Often in a towing situation, there's a lot of emotions. It can be kind of tense. You may have just crashed. A lot of things can be happening in that moment. And we do get a lot of complaints in our consumer complaint hotline. We look through those for any common themes and any areas of the law where, you know, clarification would help in those situations. So that's our fixes in 117. You'll hear from Aaron Knott as well about the great working relationship we've had with the towing community. They really did come to the table and work with us and came up with some great solutions here. So in the bill, you'll see some parts that are moving around, parts that are deleted and then restored in other areas. When the bill was originally written, and I think in 2007, it was one of those bills that kind of ends up spidering in all different ways. This just kind of cleans up and makes it a little more linear for folks who are reading the statute. On page 5, you'll see some changes. In the existing law, it says the tower has to take a picture of the car if it's parked illegally. It didn't clarify that the consumer was able to get a copy of that photo. So we're just clarifying that they get that at no charge. It also clarifies that the tower must tow to the nearest parking or storage facility that they have within the county that the tow is happening in. We've seen some towers, unfortunately, who charge per mile, taking advantage of that and, you know, kind of go to the facility that's furthest away in order to rack up charges. And I want to iterate, that's probably not most towers, that's just some of the bad actors out there. Third, the bill better defines a hookup. So when an actual tow truck is hooked up to a car or loaded onto a tow truck, certain rights and obligations apply both to the consumer and to the tower. The existing definition of hookup wasn't quite clear, so we added some clarity there. Finally, we added in that the signage on any parking facility must be clear and conspicuous. There's been some issues where maybe a sign was knocked down or wasn't quite clear enough about where you could park and when. So just adding those words in to make sure that when consumers are towed that they've had good notice. And you've heard Senator Riley talk about the patrol towing issue as well. So that's the fixes in the bill, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Representative Greenlee.
Yes, and I'm asking about a specific application. This talks about the authority of an apartment building that has more units than there is parking places. I live in a condo and came out the other day and found somebody parked in a parking place, which I own, and pay taxes on the parking place. It's kind of weird. When I checked with the condo about what could be done about it, they said it was up to the individual owner of the individual parking place to call for towing. How does that fit in? I didn't want to do that because I didn't want anybody's car towed away, but how does that fit into this model in a multiple dwelling unit that's a condo where the individual owner is only individual parking place?
Chair Barker, Representative Greenlee. So in current law, if you have more cars and parking spaces in an apartment complex, there's certain rules you have to follow in order for the tow to happen. In your case, I would think they are correct. You need to call them yourself since you own that spot.
How do I certify to the tower that I really own that parking place?
Chair Barker, Representative Greenlee. So the bill actually says you need to have the owner's permission before you tow. So theoretically, you would probably call the tower. They would say, "So we do have your permission to tow this car away. It's this one here," and maybe give some specifics. And then the tower is required to keep that information, that permission from you, on file. So if the car owner comes later and says, "Why did my car get towed?" they can pull that out and say, "We had permission from the landowner."
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Matter of personal curiosity.
Yeah. Representative Vile.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Greenlee's question kind of raises one for me. In the bill, on page 3, at line 43, it says that a tower may not tow a motor vehicle from a parking facility unless there's a sign displayed in plain view at that parking facility. Do you interpret that to mean that a sign generally in the condo complex covering all parking spaces would be sufficient, or because these are individually owned, everybody would have to have their own sign in their parking space?
Chair Barker, Representative Bile, I'm not sure. I do note that parking facility has the meaning given in 98805. I'm not sure I have that on me at the moment, but it might be, you know, that the condo doesn't qualify as a parking facility.
So if it doesn't qualify as a parking facility, then the owner of the parking space would have to actually in 98805 it says a parking facility means any property used for vehicle parking. So that's not going to help us solve that question. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anything further? Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Barker, if I could, too.
Sure.
Right before the hearing, a concern was raised about 98856, which gives certain requirements about how the towing company operates to the consumer, and how that information was deleted on page 2 at lines 8 through 10. I think you might be hearing a concern about that coming up. I will note, I did look in the bill, and the information is still required. In 856 on page 6, it just says the tower shall disclose this information no matter what kind of tow. So the information would be required for I think, every kind of tow. The deletion of that language, I don't think, should change that intent. So,
okay,
thank
good.
You.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. James Husk and Sean Cruz.
Good afternoon, Chair Barker, members of the committee. My name is Sean Aaron Cruz, and I began work on this issue in the 2005 legislative session when I was working for Senator Gordley, and continued through the 06 interim, and in the 07 session, I led her work group on Senate Bill 431 and participated in the Attorney General's Senate Bill 116 as some of Senator Gordley's concepts were moved into that bill. And it feels really great to be back in the building, I want to say that. And it's good to see you. And if you were in office in 07, I thank you again for your vote. Senate Bill 431 drew unanimous votes on both sides of the building and inspired Jack Ohman to create this wonderful cartoon, which you all should have. But here it is 10 years later. And, you know, we're still working on the same problem. And in part, first of all, I want to give you Senator Gordley's perspective and legislative intent was to protect the populations living in low-income housing apartment complexes, people of color, immigrant populations, people with limited English skills who don't know how things work here and are generally pretty grateful just to have a place to live. And we know how the pressure on housing costs is right now. And among the things that we wanted to accomplish then, which Senate Bill 117 does address, is eliminate this practice of where a tow driver working on commission makes all the judgment calls, and largely in the dead of night. And this is where people make their homes. And one of the things that we required was that the towers provide to the owner of the vehicle, prior to towing the vehicle, the cost information. So the tenant should know how much money do I have to have in my pocket 24/7 without notice to satisfy a tow truck driver, if a tow truck driver shows up. And then where are they going to take my car? And how much money am I going to need to have with me when I get there? And those are vital pieces of information. And I have a concern in 117 where was just mentioned on page 2, lines 5 through 7, where those three lines are taken out. And again, on page 4, lines 6 or 7, and that was a critical part of Senate Bill 116. And so the question is that language moved somewhere else into the bill? But where I see it existing in the current version of the bill is that the tower can provide that information any time. But our intent was that the tenant know in advance. The property owner knows, the tow company knows, they should have the prices that the tower charges for goods and services when they sign the agreement. And that's only fair. Senator Gordley's motivation that guided all our work on these bills was fair notice, which is also relates to the signage that is in this bill. Again, we required that signage 10 years ago, that every parking facility that is patrol towed has to have a sign at every entrance. And yet 10 years later, it's easy to drive around and see properties where that's not taking place, because there'll be signs somewhere else, but nothing at the entrance. I'm sure that's the case in everybody's district. And another fundamental is that we moved, in Senate Bill 116, we moved the line that is, it's an unfair trade practice for a tower to provide consideration in exchange for the privilege of towing a vehicle from a property. And in that statute, it defines providing goods and services below fair market value as consideration. The towers in this private property impound scheme provide the services for free to a certain class of their customers, which happen to be residential, apartment owners. free. And the city argues that since all of the towers have colluded into the system to provide the services for free, the fair market value is therefore zero. And it is 10 years later, and the system still operates exactly as it did 10 years ago. And I'm wondering, what does it take to get the law enforced around here? And the issue of towers showing up face-to-face with a person like an immigrant, for example, who has no idea whether citizens' rights would apply to them, even if they knew what citizens' rights were, because there is no place anywhere in the state, not on the Attorney General's website, not on the City of Portland's website, nowhere else that I can find, where a clearly stated description of what a person's, a member of the public's rights are regarding involuntary towing. It just doesn't exist anywhere. Among the things that we also outlawed 10 years ago was these patrol towers were acting like they were police, and they would patrol a lot, and if a car in there had an expired tag, they would tow it, expired registration. It's legally parked. We put it in statute that they couldn't do that, and yet the practice is still going on. And I provided, I don't know if you have the electronic version yet, of lease agreement for images of Columbia Apartments in Northeast Portland. And this is one of those properties that was drawing high numbers of tows 10 years ago, and it's still happening now. It's month after month after month. The last 3 months that the city has records posted, November 2016, 9 cars were towed from there. The month before, 17 cars. And the month before that, 10 cars. And these numbers go all the way back. And then in another example, in Representative Sanchez's district, is a place called Ridgecrest Timbers on North Columbia, which in October last year, 9 cars were towed, and the following month, 17. Are these cases of just egregiously sloppy parking, or is there something else going on here?
And Mr. Chris, we need to wrap up because we have people, members
okay.
Have to leave.
That's pretty much the gist of what I wanted to say, but I do want to reinforce that language about providing the tenants that information before the vehicle towed is critical. So I'm hoping that part continues to be in the bill.
Good. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions for Mr. Cruz? Okay, please.
Hello. My name is James Husk. I never did this before, so just trying to give you a little bit of my opinion of this Senate bill. I've been a tow company, the biggest private property impounding business in Lane County for 20 years. I think Senate Bill is a bill that protects violators of the law. This bill's there's legal government laws already set in place in cities across Oregon, including Eugene, Tualatin, and Albany. Albany just recently set their own regulations on private property towing and towers that go in and do this, what he's talking about with the towing from apartment complexes, et cetera. I think putting in place the Senate Bill 117 would help violators be violators of the law, as the provisions of the bill making property owners and be present at the time of which the tow could be all hours of the night. It could be 3 a.m., 4 a.m. that a property owner has to be present to have these cars towed. As of now, we have a contract with the property owners. In those contracts, there are stipulations to apply to whatever the parking facility or parking lot is. We enforce these as a tow company. But all in all, the property owners do put the rules and regulations on the tenants. Now, I don't know about across Oregon, but I know in Eugene, most of our property owners, they have contracts. When they sign a lease, they sign a towing contract and a parking violation contract. And this is all over the city of Eugene. Eugene has put in place requirements on the towers and the property owners where we have to have signs in plain view sight within 10 feet of a parking spot. They have to be no less or no higher than 10 feet high, 3 feet by 3 feet in diameter, with no smaller than 3-inch lettering on them so they can be read. City of Eugene is also, the council there has put in ordinance that us tow companies can't just go in and take a car. We have to call the police first. We have to give them the make and model of the vehicle, where the vehicle's located at. They run a check on it, make sure the car ain't stolen. Then they give us a pre-call time and date. Then we tow the car. So it's not like we're sitting around just looking for these cars and grabbing them and you know, it's a 5-minute parking. These people are usually there for an amount of time before they get towed. It takes a while to hook a vehicle up. We have a lot of football games, a lot of basketball games at the University of Oregon. A lot of apartment complexes, a lot of businesses suffer from the parking because of this. If we require to have the owner of the property present to have these cars towed and wait there and sign a tow bill, it's going to take a lot of time. There could be a lot of, most of the time how this, you know, comes about and property owners have us tow cars is because they've had a bad run-in with somebody not abiding by the signs that are clearly there. And so usually they call us in and we're pretty much the bad guy because we're towing the people that are violating the signs. I don't see this as a statewide problem. I see it as we have certain areas of the state that we have these problems. We have a guy here in Salem, Oregon, that has pretty much brought this bill about. His practice isn't very good. How we regulate that, I don't know. But one bad apple is kind of bringing all this about again for the rest of us. We work with our city government to try to put in regulations city by city. I just don't think that, you know, the provision in this bill with 117 of having property owners, that some of them that are out of state that aren't even here happen to be present to have the car towed, I see that being a big problem. Pretty much all I got to say.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Representative Sanchez?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you tell me, because there's some pieces in the bill that about a car being hooked up or not hooked up. What is, in your opinion right now, because, you know, I've had people say that to me or that situation. Well, they said they already hooked it up, so they wouldn't let it go, and they would charge me this much money and blah, blah, blah. What does hooked up mean?
Well, hooked up means the vehicle would be completely on the flatbed, fastened down, and ready to tow out. Or if you're using a wheel lift, the vehicle would have to be completely fastened to the vehicle with the tow lights on it, ready to go.
Okay. Mr. Chair, follow up, please.
Follow up, please.
So if you were at the point of just putting, you got maybe one of those little things attached or whatever, but the other one wasn't attached, that would not be hooked up.
That's not fully hooked up. It has to be fully hooked up.
So when someone says that, oh, it's already hooked up as they're finishing the other side, then they're not actually doing...
That's correct.
Okay. So they are in the wrong there, and yet that happens.
I think it does.
Thank you.
Okay. We're just checking on something here for a second.
It doesn't with our company, but we can't speak for everybody. And I understand there is companies out there just not doing things like they should.
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony. And we're not going to move the bill today. We're going to take a little look and maybe adjust some of the things in there. There's people have some concerns about it. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
That was another nice question. Okay, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 117A and open a hearing on Senate Bill 488A.
Thank you, Chair Barker. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 488A places additional requirements on towers who recovered vehicles after they have been stolen and also allows a person whose vehicle has been towed to inspect their vehicle. There are no amendments, and there is a minimal fiscal and no revenue impact.
Okay, thank you. Aaron Knott, Al Elkins, and Mike Wagner, please.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Aaron Knott. I'm the legislative director for the Attorney General of the Oregon Department of Justice here in support of Senate Bill 488A. Those of you that were here in the last session may remember an informational hearing we had where you heard about the experiences of crime victims who have their cars stolen and then recovered, and what that can put them through, not just in terms of the loss of their vehicle, but then the process of trying to either get that vehicle back or get some closure with the vehicle if the vehicle comes back totaled. So coming out of that, the Department of Justice pulled together a work group with a number of stakeholders, but most importantly with the stakeholders sitting to my right. And for the next 9 months, we really noodled on this. And before I talk about the bill, I want to publicly thank our partners in the towing industry. You know, as this committee knows, DOJ is on a lot of work groups, and I very rarely have I seen an industry come to the table as fully as this one to get to a consensus on an issue that is hard and on which they have real skin in the game. So I wanted to thank them publicly for that. So the basic fact pattern that this bill is seeking to address: your car is stolen, and then sometime thereafter it's recovered. That's great news, but there's no saying where it is recovered or in what condition it is recovered. When I was a prosecutor, I definitely had a stolen car case where it was stolen out of a parking lot and returned to that same parking lot days later in the same condition, but that's not a normal case. What's more typical is it's dumped, it's stripped, key components are taken out of it, or it's involved in a collision. And in all of those cases, you have a vehicle that is not in the shape it was when it departed. So the first thing that happens is an officer locates that vehicle. Now, officers in Oregon generally do make an earnest attempt to notify the crime victim when the vehicle is recovered, but that could be at 4 a.m. in the morning, that could be while you're at work. And almost by definition, you don't have your car. So when an officer says, you know, I can sit here on the side of the road for 60 minutes and you've got that long to pick it up, you give it your best shot, that may not work out for you. So at that point, a tow is called. And from then on, the car is typically treated like any other towed vehicle. In many cases, the tower may not even know that the vehicle was the subject of theft. They may only know that they've been called by law enforcement to a particular location to pick up a particular vehicle. That triggers the first problem that this bill is trying to address. When those towers take the tow into their own possession, they don't have the same information about that tow that law enforcement has. Law enforcement has the contents of the law enforcement database system and whatever was placed in a stolen report when the car was reported stolen. That's the best data we have. You know, that means if you're staying with your grandma because you're in from out of town, they'll know that. That was what you reported when the vehicle was stolen. It's got your most recent cell phone, not the one you had 3 or 4 years ago. That's the good information. Right now, towers don't get that information. Senate Bill 488A will provide it to them with the restriction that they only use it for the purpose of contacting the tower. Right now, once they get the vehicle in, if they want contact information, they have to get it from DMV. My understanding is that's typically done by letter, and it only returns the information that DMV has. That means what you registered with DMV. That might be years ago, and it's not going to have a cell phone. So at that point, the vehicle's on the lot, and it starts accruing charges. It can take days to notify the victim, especially if you're using DMV information, and that process gets more and more expensive. Crime victims report, and you'll hear from Kim Larson of the District Attorney Victims Assistance Program shortly on this, that when they show up to pick up their cars, sometimes the car has already been totaled by the fees that have attached to it, especially if it came in busted, which is frequent. So they show up, they're told that they have to pay some amount of money to get the car out, and if they don't have it, the tab just keeps going up. Under existing existing law, in order for a tower to dispense of that vehicle, they have to go through a lien process. That process can take up to 30 days. That's 30 days of storage fees. At the end of that 30-day process, if a crime victim is unable to pay for their vehicle, it is not atypical and certainly legally allowed for the tower to take the victim to small claims court. That can lead to serious damage to your creditworthiness, which can make it very hard to get another car, garnishment of your wages, and other very serious financial complications for that crime victim. So this bill seeks to tackle this in a number of ways. One is the sharing of information component that I mentioned earlier. The other one is there's, if we're going to provide towers with that high quality information, we expect them to use it. The incentive that we provide for them to contact crime victims as quickly as possible is we do not allow storage fees to accrue until that attempt is made. Crime victims who want to walk away from a damaged vehicle should be able to do so more easily. So this bill also contemplates that if they come in and they say, look, I want to transfer my title, I already know I can't get out from underneath this, that they have a mechanism to do so. Now, we've defined this narrowly. This is only crime victims and only when the vehicle is totaled, because we don't want to open the door to situations where drivable vehicles could be exposed to pressure tactics by towers who are not represented to my right or in the room, but we do have complaints suggesting are out there, that'll use high-pressure tactics to say, well, you're already into this thing $1,000, and that's going to double unless you sign over your title. We don't want that to happen, so we're keeping this narrow. We're also putting in a mechanism where if a crime victim comes in within the first 14 days and says, you know, I'm walking away from this, that's as far as this goes. There will be no collections. There will be no small claims. In very limited circumstances, that will create a write-off loss for the tower. And this is part of why I want to commend this industry as much as I had. They recognize that crime victims are a special subset that have done nothing wrong. There was no decision to have your car stolen. The Oregon State Police estimate at least, and this is noisy data, but they figure that the stolens for them is only about 2% of the tows that are ordered. So it's not a massive number of cases, but still, the gesture made by the industry here is very real and I think needs to be emphasized. Finally, we realized in the first chamber that under existing law, there's no right to inspect your vehicle when it's in the possession of the tower. We heard testimony that I think you may hear again about a crime victim who couldn't get to their vehicle, and there was a representation made that it was damaged, and then it turned out to be driven off the lot ultimately, and they were left with no real recourse as to that misrepresentation because they had voluntarily surrendered their title. They might theoretically have been able to file a lawsuit, but there was no right to inspect in the statute. So, again, I believe this is a consensus bill. It's the product of, I think, at least 8 months of hard work, and I urge your support, and I'm open for any questions.
So if when you, I go to inspect the car, can I take any property out of it?
Chair Barker, the provisions that govern the retrieval of property from a vehicle are not being modified. They already exist. And if you look at the bill, they're on page 4. You already have the right to obtain personal property of an emergency nature in the motor vehicle within the time allowed under paragraph A of this subsection, which is basically business hours. So if you can make a case that you've got property that you have to have, you know, your ID, your medicine, things like that, you can get to that under existing law.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Elkins, please.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Tow Truck Association. We, too, would like to thank the Department of Justice for having the opportunity to work with them for the last 9 months. Noodling has become a verb, adverb, and noun for Mr. Elkins, and I have shared that with family members. We have one area that we need to work on, and we're continuing to work on in this bill with the Department of Justice. It's an amendment, and Mike Wagner will explain to you what that amendment is. It's on line 18, section 5 of the bill.
I'm Mike Wagner, but I own Sandy M. Towing up the Highway 22 corridor, and I'm a board member for the Oregon Tow Truck Association. As everyone said, we've been a lot of hard work on this, and it's difficult for it's difficult for private industry that depends upon getting paid for what you do to go forward and say we're going to say these we don't get paid for these. Stolen vehicles are, of all the things, of all the services we perform, it's for me, it's the toughest emotionally because you're as stated before, the person didn't do anything wrong. They didn't get up in the morning and say, I think my car stolen today. They were the victim, and then you would think that the person that stole it should be responsible for the bill, but that's not the way it works. The owner of the vehicle is responsible for the bill. In the cases where there is insurance coverage, of course, insurance picks up the tab. Nowhere in the bill had we made the statement that if there was insurance, then this doesn't apply. We certainly want the insurance to be the solution in cases where there are insurance. We've just learned over the years we're better to state everything out and be specific about what we're saying so that nobody misinterprets what the intent was. A few years from now, we won't be around and somebody will have a different opinion about what all this says. So anyway, that's our amendment. Proposed amendment is very minor. We just believe that there should be a statement that when there is insurance coverage, it'll take care of the bill, the towing bill.
Thank you. And it's important that we put that in there because the Court of Appeals and so on, they can't guess at what we meant.
Yeah.
It has to say it or it doesn't, you know. So that'll be good. Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony.
You.
Very helpful. And thank you for your working on this bill. I mean, really appreciate that, too, with DOJ. Kim Larson and Meredith Thomas. And you can go, whoever wants to go first, but please remember to identify yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, Chair Barker, members of the committee. My name is Kim Larson, and I'm the Director of Victim Assistance with the Marion County DA's office. I'm here today on behalf of ODAA and the Marion County DA's office to testify in support of Senate Bill 488. As an advocate that works within the criminal justice system, part of my job is to try to minimize as much as possible the secondary victimization that happens to victims. And that's that victimization that happens at the hands of someone other than the offender, usually systems. So the issues that we're addressing today are prime examples of the systems that are in place that directly victimize people who have had their car stolen. Admittedly, there are some people that can navigate that. They have the resources, they have the insurance, and can absorb that loss a little bit more easily. But what makes this issue especially troubling is that it disproportionately impacts those with lower incomes and fewer resources. The difficulties that these victims face when their car is stolen often goes beyond mere inconvenience. It's easy for us to take for granted sometimes how vital a car can be to making a living and just surviving day to day. And in Marion County and all throughout Oregon, we have many rural areas. This only compounds the barriers that people face when their only form of transportation is lost. If their car is recovered, then victims often face the insurmountable task of trying to retrieve their car from a tow company, which isn't always an easy process, and it's expensive. It can be very, very expensive. And even if a victim wants to surrender their car, some tow companies refuse or aren't able, and others continue to hold the victim responsible for fees even after their surrender has happened. An important issue that is addressed by this bill is the timeliness of notice. As soon as a car is towed, the costs accrue. They start accruing the minute that it is towed. So when people contact us about towing costs, they very often are already facing a bill of $1,000 or more. It doesn't take long for it to get there. And these are often people who have tried to act quickly once they've gotten notice that their car's been towed and they know where it's at. The problem is, as has been described, is that that notice sometimes takes a while because of some of the issues they've talked about. And so the bill keeps growing, the fees keep growing. We worked with one man who was a laborer and worked outside of town most of the time. When he finally got notice that his car had been recovered and towed, he then had to arrange to take time off work to be able to travel back into Salem and to get one of his coworkers to also take time off of work to bring him back into Salem. And once they got here, finding out that they needed to also get paperwork from the police department. And once they did that, got back to the tow company, it was too late. They had closed for the day. And so then that meant a second day of coming back into town and convincing a coworker to come back into town and take time off of work as well. His bill, by the time he was able to do that, his tow bill was $1,185. I mean, this wasn't an easy thing to accomplish for him once that notice had happened. We worked with another gentleman who didn't live in Salem, but unfortunately got his car stolen in Salem. And once his car was recovered and he was able to get back into Salem to try to address that, his bill was already at $1,000. His car wasn't worth that much. And so he felt like he had no other choice but to relinquish his car. And as a result, didn't have a car to commute to work. and ended up losing his job and losing the apartment that he lived in because he couldn't afford to keep that. And so there are some huge ripple effects sometimes that come from this. And these are pretty common examples that we see and hear from victims. Requiring law enforcement to provide that contact information to towers right up front and for towers to make that notice as soon as practicable and not accrue fees until they've at least tried to make that notice is a really important piece that can help mitigate some of those costs for the victims we're working with. When I think about some of the experience that victims have described to us, the word that comes to mind for me is injustice. These folks haven't done anything wrong. They've had their car stolen. Yet the burden of the crime and all the consequences that flow from that fall on their backs. So this bill is a really necessary step in the right direction toward reducing that secondary victimization that happens at the hands of the systems that we currently have in place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, Chair Barker, members of the committee. My name is Meredith Thomas. I work as a victim advocate at the Multnomah County DA's office, and I'm here to speak in favor of Senate Bill 488. I'm here to address issues that I see stolen car victims face when a car is towed after it is stolen from them. So most of the problematic situations that I see are when a police officer calls a victim either after the car has already been towed or says, like was talked about, I can stay on the side of the road for, you know, half an hour to an hour, but they can't get there in time. And then what happens is the victim is put into a relationship with a financially interested party when they didn't do anything to enter into that relationship. And so even if the victim goes and picks the car up the next day, it will cost $150 to $200 to get it out of the tow yard. If they can't pay that amount, then the tow yard can either offer to take their title, as has been discussed, or they're just left with no vehicle. One example that I have of a title takeover gone fairly wrong for a crime victim addresses the right to inspect your vehicle that was discussed. So a student in Portland, a university student, had her car stolen. The officer called her and said that the car had already been towed to a local company. And the victim arrived at the tow yard in person toward the end of the day. And the person working there said the car was totaled and wasn't drivable. She asked to see it, and they said that it was in the back of the tow yard and that she was not going to be able to see it that day, but that it had been totaled and wasn't able to be driven off the lot. At this point, she calls her insurance company and is on hold for about half an hour while the tow yard is about to close. And if she stays on hold with her insurance company and tries to get connected with someone, then they could close and she would have to come back the next day and pay even more. So the employee of the tow company is pressuring her to just sign her title over, saying that her insurance looks at her insurance policy, says her insurance isn't going to cover anything anyway. And so she eventually ends up signing her title over. The next day, she feels like something fishy may have happened, so she goes and talks to her legal aid at her university, and they request the police report, which indicates that at the time of recovery, there was no damage to the vehicle. And so she calls the tow yard and confronts them and asks what happened, and they wouldn't give her any information except to say that she had already signed her title over. So at this point, she spent a week going out and calling this tow company and figuring everything out. The fees have accrued, even if she could have gotten her car back, have accrued over, you know, $500. She has been distracted from her studies. Finals week was coming up. And so she just gives up and stops contacting the tow yard because she doesn't have time and loses her car. And so it's just an example of how subjecting victims to enter into a business relationship with an agency that knows a lot about how the system works when somebody who's been victimized has no idea what their rights are and what they can even do is problematic. And this is just financial burden on top of already losing your car. Anything that is in your car at the time of the theft is gone, including like radios, you know, and stuff that you expect to be able to stay in your vehicle. And it's very difficult to get restitution ordered in these cases, even for the tow costs, because you know, people don't pay restitution very often, but also as far as damage to the vehicle, it's hard to get restitution ordered because it's difficult to prove that the person that stole the vehicle was actually the person that caused that damage. And the person that was found in the vehicle was actually the person that caused that damage. So financial compensation is limited. And so, yeah, I guess that's the issues that I see that people have faced.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. So we will close the public hearing on that to get the amendment fixed. And open a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 491.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. You previously heard Senate Bill 491 on April 24th. It makes changes to the Oregon State Department Disciplinary Process and Professional Responsibility Boards. There is a minimal fiscal and no revenue impact.
Okay. I don't have my half, so go ahead and just...
We're a work session.
Open a work session. Thank you. On Senate Bill 491.
Chair Barker, I move Senate Bill 491 without recommendation to the House Committee on Rules.
Representative Olson moves Senate Bill 491 to the House Revenue Committee. I'm sorry, to the House Committee on Rules without recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Quick.
Then a post.
I went back and looked at my notes from our public hearing, and I just want to make sure that if it's at all possible that whomever is working on this in rules would eliminate the bill post rule, excuse me, the emergency clause from this bill, because I just don't see a reason for it. So if that note or message could be gotten.
If you just speak to the vice chair when next time you see her.
I saw she left. Yes.
Yeah, she had to go. Okay, is there any further discussion? Or is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And Representative Springer is present for the vote. Thank you, committee. We stand adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you, committee. We stand adjourned.
Okay.
Vote.